I entitled my message this week, What is Our Anointing? You hear a lot of people talking about that, especially in the Christian circles. I have the anointing, or I got the anointing, and the anointing is very important, but we all have the anointing if we accepted Christ into our life. So let's look back as I read the scripture in Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Hope and pray that you click on to the scripture reading. But here we are. We've been to Israel for, quite a few times. And one of the staples for the people in the Middle East, especially in Israel for thousands of years, including the first century when Jesus walked this earth, was and is the olive industry. It flourishes. There is olive trees everywhere. There's olives. You can buy all kind of crafts and so forth that's made out of olive wood. It's very wonderful, the olive and the olive tree, because they can be used for all kind of stuff. You know, the olives for food, for oil, for fuel, for lighting of lamps, nourishing of the skin, for healing and religious rituals. Throughout the whole Galilee area, Samaria and Judea, people planted olive groves, and they have funds from this, and they export, and they help other people, and the cities flourish as they did with the grape and the wine industry. So olives and grapes and wine in the Middle East is a wonderful, wonderful way for people to have a good income and also be blessed by the olive groves. Now, it's just not for orchard or cultivation or harvest, because they also grow wild throughout the region, and they provide beauty and rest and shade. The olive provided the oil for anointing used in Israel's kings and priests and prophets. Because of its beauty and rapid growth in the region, as well as its religious significance, the olive became a national identity for Israel. It symbolizes God's abundance and blessings upon the people and a sign of peace. Now, since the time of Noah, when the dove brought back an olive branch to Noah, if you remember the story, for the people was symbolizing an act of peace, reconciliation, a new beginning, and an abundant land given to them by God. So the olive branch had been associated with wellness and peace. Now, outside of Jerusalem in the area of Bethany, and the Mount of Olives became an important place within Jesus' ministry. He met there often with his disciples, and it's where he prayed, where he spent his last moments before his arrest, and where he would bring his disciples at the time of his ascension. This is Ascension Sunday, as we celebrate that. But the Mount of Olives was a tall hill filled with beautiful olive trees. Not only did the area boast a significant olive grove, but it was also the site of a Stone Age cemetery, which held graves of many Israel's forefathers and mothers and kings had been buried there at the site which they had been anointed. And this was Israel's heritage site and a symbol of the temple or the tabernacle of God. But the lush groves of the Mount of Olives, at the Mount of Olives, at the village of Bethany, served as the eastern border for Jerusalem. And then on the other side was the wilderness. Now, this was a favorite place for Jesus and a place of witness for the Messiah's key moment of prayer and resolve for that mission to come. It's no wonder that Jesus chose this place for the moment of his ascension. The Mount of Olives is filled with symbolic meaning. In the Talmud, which is a religious book that contains information about the religious laws and commentaries on the Torah, calls the Mount of Olives the Mount of Anointing. Now here Jesus is accepting his anointing by Mary, his anointing by God, and for his final mission to the cross, and now he will meet God here for his final ascension. So as Israel's kings and prophets and priests, Jesus is coming to the place of anointing for his ascension, and it is a very, very significant thing that took place. And just as the perfumed olive oil permeated Jesus' skin and hair before his death, his presence will permeate this place forever to come. Here he has rejoined God in his holy eternal temple. And here he will someday return as the world becomes reborn. We are looking for his return at any moment. Praise be to God. But the olive, it's indicated of God's presence and marks some of the sacred events. For the rabbis and the early Jewish people, anointings were transactions. When a king or a prophet or a priest was anointed, that person moved from one identity to another, from one role to another, from one human state to a spiritual one. So with their anointing, they took on a covenantal role and responsibility for the people of Israel. As a blessed leader and a representative of God, with their anointing, the Spirit of God rested upon them and commissioned them for the job to come. Now, for the Messiah, this idea takes on more significance because it's the site that Jesus loved, where he spent his last physical and post-resurrection moments. There are moments of transition for him, too. The scripture that I read today in Luke 24, we are contemplating the strange and amazing story of Jesus' ascension on that hill of the olive groves near Bethany. Now, we see that Jesus making his final transition from resurrected to ascended. Hallelujah. So from here, he returns to God and becomes once again with God. He will return at the time of Pentecost, though, in the form of the Holy Spirit. We know that's already happened. And then later, he said he will come again through a mysterious portal. Remember, we were talking a couple weeks ago about the portals? Well, right there is a portal on the Mount of Olives. But before Jesus comes back, he was leaving his disciples with some very, very last-minute instructions. Primarily, he said to wait and to pray. Now, he doesn't push them onward to take up his mission at that time. He doesn't lecture them on any further on behavior or actions or things that need to get done. No, he simply asks them to wait, to pray, to praise, and when the right time comes, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. For only then will they be ready to resume his mission. Despite the 3 years of teaching and guiding and nurturing and the infusion into his disciples of his key identity and awareness of the covenant responsibility, I think the only thing he wants them to do now is wait. Their job is at hand to be witnesses so that later on they can proclaim repentance and, more importantly, forgiveness of sins to all far and wide. Forgiveness of sins for all. You know, Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for our sins for all. You see, only that point that God had blessed them with the Holy Spirit, and only when they have been clothed with power from on high. I think too often in his world, we sometimes maybe feel that we can control the ways of the world on our own. I've come to realize you can't control people, places, and things. It's frustrating, but you can't do it. But our own efforts never seem to work, do they? And our own olive branches never seem to hold. But, I love the buts and the if, when we walk in the Spirit of Christ, we can humbly wait and pray and ask for help from Jesus Christ. To do what? To accomplish God's mission in the world. We are Christ followers. And then suddenly everything becomes easier and clearer and less reactive and more defined. So the lesson of Jesus, one of his last lessons, he will teach his disciples and us that don't react on their own. Not to feel that they're taking on the whole world upon their shoulders and they need to fix it. No, Jesus did that when he was on the cross. Now we just got to go and teach. So Jesus teaches the disciples and us to pray and to rely on the power of God to heal and move the world. Their role and our role is important as they are important to God's mission. They will be Christ's vehicles. We can be Christ's mouthpiece and Jesus' healing hand. And now, us here, we always refer to that, well, we're just the hands and feet of Jesus, doing what Jesus did when he was here, and now he calls us to do the same. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But the power comes not from them, but from the Holy Spirit. And the same thing for us today. So is there anything the church needs to remember as we contemplate Christ's ascension during Ascension Sunday? Is that humility matters more than hubris. And that the Holy Spirit can accomplish so much more than any of us could ever dream of if, the buts and the ifs, if only we allow our faith and not our pride to guide us. So this week, as you celebrate the ascension of Jesus Christ, take time to pray for the perils of the world, for those who need healing, for sins needing forgiving, and the sins that were committed. Oh, we pray for forgiveness and repentance, for the proclamation of Christ's power, and for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and whose power far exceeds our own. Perhaps we can feel Christ's presence surrounding you whenever the olive branch of peace comes out. You know, peace, Jesus' peace, is to move and to fill you, to humble you, and to prepare you for what? Pentecost, and it's coming soon. So when the Holy Spirit fills you, you will too experience that spiritual transition and a covenant call, each one different from the rest. We all have special gifts and graces that God's given to us. And when we put them all together, then we have the body of Christ in this world, filled with the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. And I think you too will feel your soul at rest, and maybe even having your energy recharged, and you will feel Christ's presence surging within your bones, his word within your mouth, his healing power within your hands as you walk into the world. Because we are in the world, not of the world, and we're here to do the work of Christ. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to allow us and prepare us that we can do it. And you too can. Not only preachers, but you can be a witness, prepared to give witness. And you too then will have the anointing, and Christ's work in you will begin. Well, I hope and pray that everybody within the sound of my voice has accepted Jesus Christ into their life. Because when you accept Christ, you don't get him in pieces. You're getting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's what gives us the ability to do what we do while we're still here on this earth. And that's doing the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you hear people say, Jesus Christ, Jesus must be his first name and his last name must be Christ. No, Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation, and the word Christ is the anointing. Jesus has given us everything that we need in this life to complete his mission. Will you do it? Will you begin? I hope and pray you will. Well, my last Sunday here at Bethel is June the 28th, and we're looking forward to our new preacher coming, Ellie Fox, and so I think you'll be blessed with her. I don't know that much about her. I have not met her yet in person, although I think she is moving into the parsonage somewhere around the 15th. She takes over on July the 1st, but you know, it's good when you're moving from Tampa to Tallahassee. You need a couple weeks to get your house in order, amen? So looking forward to that, and I hope and pray that if you can't come to church, you continue to listen online. But if you can come for my last Sunday on June the 28th, that would really be a wonderful blessing for Judy and I, because we love you all. We love this little church known as Bethel, and we hope and pray you have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.